You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up, guys? Kel Strasburger-Murray here, and you are listening to Girls Talking Boys in partnership with SB Nation. As always, happy St. Paddy's Day.
Happy St. Paddy's Day. Happy Friday, everybody. This week has been nothing short of overstimulating. Therefore, as promised, we brought a friend on with us. We have Carmen Vitale of Fox Sports.
Gang, gang!
Today.
That's me. Happy St. Patrick's Day from Chicago, which who takes it really seriously?
Honestly, I've always wanted to go to the St. Patty's Day parade in Chicago. Like the whole concept of like dyeing the river green, like the commitment that your city has for this festival or this date, this holiday, there's what I'm looking for.
A really good friend of mine from childhood texted the group chat that we have of all of us and texted us a picture of his parents at a bar at 8 a.m. on the South Side. One of them in Pulaski. Like, yes. I want to be that when I grow up. Like, all of us were like, you know, no, I got work to do right now because we're all meeting up later at like 1 p.m.
Yeah.
That's what later is on St. Patrick's Day. But our friends' parents are the ones that are hitting it hard at 8 a.m. at a bar on the South Side of Chicago, which
honestly, goals.
Seriously.
Goals. Right. That's what I'm saying. They're all Irish too. So, you know, they take it very seriously.
I feel honestly, Megan and I are Irish. So this feels like our holiday. yeah. Carmen, I feel like everyone's a bit Irish. Are you a bit Irish?
No, I actually felt very out of. Like, I felt very left out growing up because the town that I grew up in is very heavily Irish. And a lot of people here in this, like, I grew up in a suburb. But there's a big Italian population, which is what I am, and Polish, which is what I am. But I felt really left out every time St. Patrick's Day especially rolled around because I was like, I can't wear the Kiss Me, I'm Irish beads because I'm not Irish. But everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day.
Everyone is Irish.
Exactly. That's the spirit.
Yes.
Speaking of feeling left out, I'm going to make a corny transition. So get ready for it. There was one man specifically in the Dallas Cowboys roster that got left out of the final count this week, which I can't decide if people were expecting or maybe they knew it was a possibility and it just felt like surreal. But Ezekiel Elliott has been designated as a post June 1 cut. So he will not be wearing 21 or a star in his helmet come next season. Megan, how are you feeling? Like, this is a big moment in time for us.
Personally, I'm unwell. It seems as though Dak Prescott shares that sentiment as he posted a really, to me, sad Instagram story last night with his 214 hat and then gave a little heart to Ezekiel Elliott. That made me sad. It's one of those things where it's really weird because he's so integrated into every part of this team and this like brand at this point. So to see him leave is kind of surreal is a good word for it. But I hate it.
Carmen, was this like something, I mean, first of all, really quickly, I think you guys, we are team no new friends at this point. It feels like on this show because we just love who we love. And so Carmen is one of our regulars at this point and also just one of our dearest friends. And if you guys don't follow her, you should already. She is like popping off all over the place. I mean, you're on the Colin Cowherd show. Like you're on like Kay Adams' show. Like you're just like such a boss. Like it's so freaking fun watching you soar. But I say all that because you've really had your pulse you've had your hand on the pulse of free agency for a hot minute. And this is one of the ones that I feel like, just due to the nature of the halo effect of who you hang out with, you had to know was probably coming. Was this as surprising to you, an outsider who like actually does this for a living and is objective, unlike, you know, let's be honest, love Megan and I, but like maybe not as much. Was it a shock, or were you like, nah, this made sense?
No, I was the latter, just because if you look at this again from a business perspective, this is where the business of the industry really comes into play, and you realize that no one is ever safe if it can save you money off the cap. And I think when they tagged Pony Tollard, they
that was
Cowboys running backs now. We all know why. You kind of saw this coming, because you just can't afford to invest that much money in that position. And I thought that was probably a really good, there was a really good chance that Zeke was going to get let go. And lo and behold, I mean, that's the thing, especially when you got kind of the same amount of production out of Tony, more production, you know, this year, and he seems to be trending upwards still. So yeah, from a business perspective, it doesn't make sense, especially at that position too. You can't invest that much money.
So let's talk about that position for a minute too, because I feel like paying running backs is one of the hottest topics that is evergreen in the NFL space. And there's a lot of people that are just super anti doing it in general. But, you know, one of the things too, coming out of this Tony Pollard versus Zeke situation, is Zeke's ability to be a starting running back. Obviously, here at the Cowboys, he suffered some setbacks and he wasn't who he was before, but he still had himself a pretty solid season, all things considered. Do you think it's viable that a guy like that, the production level that he's been putting out? I mean, I'm sorry, I'm being a bad host right now, but I do have the numbers. But either way, like, they're decent figures that he's putting up on the board. Like, it's nothing to phone home about. And, you know, it's not like the best season he's ever had, but it's still respectable nonetheless.
I just think in general, we're seeing a big shift though into this running back by committee type approach to the position. And so you don't need 1500 yards out of your running back, not to mention it's still a passing league. I think that it's kind of coming around a little bit evolutionarily. The game itself is coming back around to focusing on some part of the run scheme, but that's not the ask anymore. And in a passing league, when you have to make up ground with your receivers and your skill players like that, even running backs that can catch, those are the guys that you're seeing go at a premium. You look at what happened with Christian McCaffrey over in San Francisco. Obviously, Alvin Kamara is still one of the best running backs in the league because of the fact that he is not only a running back, but he can also act as a receiver. So when you have these pure running backs, I feel like a lot of teams are now opting to do the running back by committee thing, where you only need like 700-800 yards rushing out of these guys, and you can rotate them. You can keep these guys fresh, and that ends up being more effective in the long run for teams. But that probably goes into why running backs are, there's a sentiment that you shouldn't pay running backs, because you don't necessarily need one to be a superstar to be successful.
Right. So I want to switch gears a little bit, because I think that's something that we've talked about a little bit too. And I think we all agree the running back by committee, I think it's great insight. I do feel like you mentioned something that this team does need though, and that's the receiver position. That's been an area of contention. And with Dalton Schultz admittedly like looking like he might be out the door, that was at least one receiving threat. You don't know what's going to happen with T.Y. Hilton. You know, you've got just you did all right with the guys that you had previously, but it wasn't anything to phone home about. Even guys like Noah Brown, who, you know, listen, like Noah Brown is Noah Brown, but he still showed up for this team and was a component. And I even feel like having that guy and his departure feels like a bit of a loss, more so than it might have been if we felt secure in this position. So, you know, you've got guys like OBJ on the free market. That is someone that they knew was, you know, going to be a target for the Cowboys, at least, you know, in theory. But do you feel like there's viable options for this team at wide receiver that are still up on the board? I know you've talked a lot about free agency targets in the best available. But there's been a lot of movement here in just the last couple of days since the windows open. And, you know, should Cowboys Nation be nervous about who is left and what their options are?
I mean, I think everybody should that needs a receiver, because it's not a good receiver free agent class, and it's not a good receiver draft class either. There's limited options across the board. So I also like to say that just because they're not a free agent, or just because they're not a free agent, doesn't mean they're not available, basically. Like, you can pull off trades. I don't know how likely the Cowboys are to do something like that. But I think the loss of Dalton Schultz is very interesting, because even if you got like an OBJ, you have CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb is a great all-around receiver, right? But what you lost in Dalton Schultz was that red zone receiver and that red zone target, the one that could be productive within the 20s. And you don't have another guy, a big guy, that can still do that. And like, CD can do it, sure, but he's not the big bodied, like Mike Evans. I harken back to like my days at the Bucks, like a Mike Evans type, where he's just really big and built, and he can go up and get these balls and can make those contested catches. I think that's, you need to look at what kind of receivers you guys, I feel like any team has on the roster, and then what they need necessarily. Sorry, I'm being distracted right now.
Yeah, you know what? Don't be a chicken. Come on the show. You're going to be a distraction.
It's going to the gym right now. I'll just tell you, it's going to the gym right now.
Yeah. Well, I have a question to steer us back on topic real quick, but it's one that I feel like you have a good insight on. So you've seen Mike McCarthy, you know, under his play calling era before. How do you think, there's two guys on the market that we keep hearing about. It's OBJ and it's D-Hop. And for whatever reason, the Cowboys seem very uninterested in DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. Do you think that has to do anything with like Mike McCarthy's play calling, that he like is like looking like what he's looking for in a receiver as the play caller now? Like, does DeAndre Hopkins just not fit that, like what he's done in the past, or what do you think about that?
That's interesting. I haven't really considered that, but now, I mean, I'm thinking back to like, I watched McCarthy with his Packers teams and like growing up, and I'm trying to think of the different cast of characters I saw on all of those teams and likening that now to what the Cowboys have. They definitely don't have, they're not built the same way. I mean, you always had a speedster. You always had a bigger threat. He did always rely on his tight ends. You always had a really good receiving tight end on those teams, bigger guys. I mean, I think that, I don't know whether it's the price of D-Hop more that's prohibiting them than it is scheme. I think that D-Hop, even in his older age, can fit into a scheme. I also think though that he wants to be a number one, and if you have CD and he's spent 1 year now being the number one after Amari left, I just feel like you don't want to have to then bring like rein him a little bit in. So I just don't know if that's a good match for other reasons. I don't think it has to do schematically. I think OBJ, I'm not sure if he's under the impression that he's not a number one anymore. I don't think he's a number one anymore. And if he's cool with that, great. But I don't know if he's there. We'll see.
The D-Hop one's just like kind of, it kind of baffles me, and I'll kind of hold my tongue a little bit, but he's essentially said like, I will do whatever you want if you make me a Cowboy. So I'm just kind of surprised that they're not entertaining that more. And I wonder if it's just, and obviously there's not going to be an answer from anyone on this, but like at the moment, but I'm wondering if it's because they're like so set on OBJ and they're not looking at anything until they figure that out. But yeah, I was just curious, because it makes no sense why they're really like not expressing any sort of interest in him, like not picking up his agent's calls and doing all that crap. Like,
yeah. Unless the, you know, having to trade for him. Yeah. I mean, like, other than like having to trade for him though, and having to give up assets to do it, That I feel like has more to do with the front office, though. And yeah, and Steven and Jerry, and they're,
you know how I feel about those two.
Yeah, well, I think I know how most of the country feels about those two. Yeah. And most of Cowboys fan base. But yeah, I think that they also downplay the needs. We saw it last year. I mean, I still can't believe they got away with not signing another major wide receiver. Like, I cannot fathom the fact that they insisted they were going to be okay, and then it ended up being the Cowboys' downfall, and they're still like, no, we wouldn't have done anything differently. Like, what?
It's illogical. And it's like, I can't decide if I think it's ego or like pure delusion. Like, I'm like, guys, like, I know better than to look for logic in illogical situations, but like, this is crazy. Like, this doesn't even make sense. And like, I don't get it. I don't know how you justify it. I've heard them, and it's like the Charlie Brown teacher where it's like, womp, 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 womp. And I'm like, none of what you're saying is like actually connecting the dots. Yeah. Like, yeah. It's like, what? Like,
and it's now, that Billy Madison monologue that the principal gets up and like, we're all dumber for having heard you speak, and may God have mercy on your soul, literally every time they talk.
Yeah,
but I mean, wait, I think it's also in the news too.
No, I've never seen Billy Madison, so I'm just gonna be like, yeah, oh my gosh, that is that.
You need to see
I that. Was like, we mentioned a movie, we have to check in with our anti-movie aficionado.
All right, well, everybody listening should probably know what I'm talking about, even if Kelsey doesn't.
What Carmen said. No, I don't know. So I guess that actually brings up a great point, and I'd love to know your opinions too. Like, if you were to grade, you know, the teams, you can go NFC, you can go full NFL, you could go, you know, but like, giving the Cowboys a grade thus far in free agency, just from what you've seen from a high level, and maybe some of your standouts that you feel like have actually really done well from another team's perspective on, you know, who's performing well in free agency, because I'll be honest, like, anytime the free agency window comes open, I'm just like, yeah, like, I'm sure there's like 10 million names that hypothetically could make sense on the Cowboys, and they're not going to do anything about it. So like, I'm not even going to try anymore. They did make some moves this year, I'll give them that. But you know, I which was weird too. Like, they've never ever prioritized the secondary. I've got to believe that's a Dan Quinn thing, which, you know, God bless DQ forever. But still, like, if you're putting a letter grade on the Dallas Cowboys thus far, and then picking a couple other teams that you're like, you guys should aspire to be like them in free agency, who would it be?
That's an interesting question. I, grade wise, I'm tempted to like do the cop out and go incomplete, because I can't think that this is it. Obviously, for most teams, this is not it. It's just the first week. But like, I think I would go with a C, just because there's room for improvement, obviously. But I did like the Stephon Gilmore pickup, because, you know, like, you had a strong secondary for the most part. You just didn't have a deep one. And then that came back to bite you with injuries. And so you learned from that. So I'm going to give you credit for learning from that. And you signed Stephon Gilmore, who is, yes, what, 30, 32 years old, but still a fantastic player, had a good year last year. But I mean, obviously there's glaring holes to fill. There's major holes to fill still. And whether or not they do anything about that in free agency, or they have faith in their draft evaluation process and can make it happen with whatever capital they have, that's from a very high level. Like, nobody come for me on that, because I don't cover the Cowboys very closely. I cover them from a national perspective, but right. I'm not in the trenches there in Dallas. But I mean, it's interesting. I don't know what team I would want them to act like as far as in free agency, but a team that hits close to home, because I literally live here, is Chicago. And I grew up a long-suffering Bears fan. I now cover them for Fox Sports. I cover them and the rest of the NFC North teams. But I have never in my life had as much faith or trust or understanding of what they're doing. I'm usually the one, like you guys, baffled at like, what the hell is going on here? Like, you are making absolutely no sense. You're not thinking two steps ahead. You're just thinking now. You're trying to placate Bears fans because you don't actually know how to win. I have been doing this my whole life. And then to see Ryan Poles come in with all of this, and granted, the Bears had all of this capital to work with, and I get that. They have all these resources. They have a ton of draft capital, especially after trading the number one pick. But I really like what they've done, and I think that all teams should do this in the sense that they prioritize value over everything. Like, if they see they loaded up on linebackers. That wasn't the biggest need for them. I mean, it was a need for sure. They needed one weak side linebacker very badly. They went out and they got two guys that I don't even know which one's going to be the weak side linebacker. One's going to be middle, one's weak. And you gave a almost max deal to one of them in Tremaine Edmonds from the Bills, or the former Bill. And then you got TJ Edwards, who was the defensive signal caller for a Philadelphia defense last year. That was insane. It was the best defense in the league. But I love that, because I'm like, all right, that's where the value lied for you. That's what you're going to get the biggest return the most immediately. And also, like, TJ Edwards deal, I think he got like 12, it was like a $12 million. It was something really, like, his $12 million in guarantees, something very small for a 3-year deal. And they got a guard when we were like, well, there was more of a tackle need. But you kind of see how all the pieces are now going to fit, and how they're sending this entire rebuild into warp speed. And I just really appreciate that approach. And everything they've done has made a ton of sense, even if that wasn't the obvious move. So Bears are great, I'm not used to saying. The whole NFC North has kind of just picked up each other's players.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I saw you tweet about that. You're like, it's probably one of the most, like, it's very, what's the word I'm looking for? Like,
incestuous. Is what it is. Yeah, it's variants. I mean, like, David Montgomery is now a Lion. And the Bears fans, that was a surprise. Bears fans, I think, really thought, and I thought that they were going to end up holding on to David Montgomery. But again, I think that this is a testament to the, what do I want to say? The variety, or like there's just a lot of variety within how teams approach that position and which ones think it's worth paying. I mean, yeah, David Montgomery's salary, I think, is $8.5 million, but the Bears were like, no, we've got a young guy on the roster. They picked up Deontay Foreman yesterday. So they're going the running back by committee thing. They're not needing a superstar, because they also have a quarterback that can run. So when you have that, you don't need to lean on. And I was kind of afraid of that with Dave Montgomery. But anyway, I'm rambling. I just think that when you go for value over need, and I think to some extent the Cowboys did that. They did that with Stephon Gilmore. They saw that there was value there. He came at a team-friendly cost, and he's going to help the team, whether or not that was your first need. So I don't know. I mean,
I'll put my hand up on this one, because someone said that was such a Howie move. And while I hate the Eagles, respect Howie, and that was a nice compliment.
That is a nice
It was. Although I'm not entirely sure the Eagles' plan either. I trust Howie because of how he put together this team and how well they've
because
done.
Because of Howie put it together?
Hey! Yeah, but I'm... dad jokes. Free. Bonus. No, I just... But like, some of the re-signings and stuff, I mean, I guess that they know that they're still within their Super Bowl window. They can get back there next year. But like, some of the re-signings I was kind of confused about, but it's fine. I trust whatever they're doing. And that's a luxury that not many teams have, I understand, is to be like, no, I trust our GM. But
yeah, I don't understand that.
One thing
probably not relatable for Cowboys.
This is still in the free agency vein, but I have to know.
I hope you're asking the Aaron Rodgers thing. Are you?
Yeah, I was gonna say, what do you think about the Aaron Rodgers move?
I literally
you
was like,
saw this coming, but
yeah, I'm dying.
Well, the move hasn't happened, so.
I thought it pretty much did. Are we just still tampering a little bit?
No, well, so I did have a friend that reached out to me asking, like, please explain to me, like, I'm five, why this isn't tampering, and I'll tell you why. It's because the Packers granted Rodgers permission to speak to the Jets. So all of the conversations, public and private, are now fair game, as far as my understanding goes. So that's why that's not tampering. It was very interesting on the McAfee show. God, if you could see this podcast, you'd see how much I'm rolling my eyes. that he got as close to the line as you could, because he was asked if there were any other teams that had been interested and that he had been in talks with. And he did say yes, but he didn't say which other team. So like, that's as close as you can get with saying, yeah, I was tampering before, but because there was no other team given permission to speak to him. But he very not so subtly alluded to the fact that it was the Las Vegas Raiders and he was going to reunite with Davante Adams. It just, that didn't end up being a good situation. I don't know. I had to watch the whole interview because it's my job, which is fine. And the amount of times, it just hurts because like the amount of times he contradicted himself over and over again.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't make sense of any, again, don't apply logic to in a logical situation, right? It's like he was 90% retired when he went into his darkness retreat, but then he came out and then saw that the Packers were shopping him, even though at the end of the season, he said later that he knew that they were planning on moving on, or it was obvious they were planning on moving on. All of a sudden, he's surprised, and now he's like, oh, I want to play still. But that wasn't the reason why he wanted to play still. But that's not the reason that he wanted to go to the Jets. He's not playing out of spite because he's not offended. But none of it made sense. If I'm talking in circles, it's because he was too. And I'm like, all right, bro. So basically, you went into the darkness thinking that you were going to retire. You came out with the same thing. You found out that the Packers were shopping you. If you just did decide to come back and you got your feelings hurt and you were in your feelings about it. And so now you want to go to the Jets and spite them. So you're playing next season out of spite. You probably also want to prove that you can outdo Favre as a Jet. That's not something I've heard anybody talk about, but he is absolutely that kind of competitive guy where he wants to make sure, like he even said.
Is it competitive or is it petty?
It's petty, it's competitive, it's narcissistic, it's egotistical.
Nice.
He said in the thing where, in the interview, that he was arguably the best player to ever play for the Packers. And I was like, Bart Starr won five championships with them? Something like that? Like, or went to the Super Bowl five times? Like, bro, you have one Super Bowl under your belt. I know that you've been there for 18 years and that's impressive, but let's not, like, in a franchise that's as storied and tradition rich as the Packers is, bro, maybe don't say that kind of. So like, I feel like he's out to prove that, and he can do that by going to the Jets and then like blowing past Favre's stats with the Jets and all that other stuff. I don't know, that's just me, my opinion of, you know, having gotten to know him a little bit. But I just hate how like everyone still hangs on his every word. And I'm like, we're feeding the monster. The reason he acts like this is because we condone it.
We enable it.
But it will, It has to eventually happen. He's not going to be a Green Bay Packer next year, regardless of what happens. Either he retires or he ends up with the Jets. Like, if this falls through with the Jets, he'll retire. The Packers have made it clear that they don't really want him. They're moving on to Jordan Love. I also, though, I hope it does work out with him to the Jets for the sake of Joe Douglas's job. I don't think Joe Douglas survives this if it doesn't happen. So there's some real live consequences and implications to people's livelihoods that are on the line here. And I'm not so sure that he understands that, but hopefully it all works out.
Or cares.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, us and the rest of Cowboys Nation, I think we all feel similarly to, you know, we can agree with the Bears and the rest of the NFC North on this one. Goodbye.
Yeah. Get out of the NFC in general. I don't know if he's going to be able to beat the Cowboys still as a Jet. We'll see.
That would make me really happy, though.
I've been saying all that the Jets really need is a quarterback, like an experienced quarterback. So if Tom Brady didn't retire, I would be like, maybe.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. Like, the Jets are in a very similar situation as the Bucs were when Tom came. And they have a really great defense. A young one too. They've got some really fun weapons. Offensive rookie of the year, you know. And I just think that they could benefit from an experienced quarterback for sure. But what you have to give up for Rodgers as far as the trade and whatever compensation Green Bay is trying to work out right now, on top of the salary you're going to have to pay him, restructured or not, anything short of a Super Bowl is not worth it. And so I hope for their sake that that happens.
I don't.
It can be in the AFC. The Cowboys can still get in from the NFC. It's fine.
That's true. Speaking of, you know, shopping around in free agency, you know, since Zeke will no longer be with the Cowboys, and if he's shopping around to be a running back one, questionable. Where would you think is a good landing spot for him? And if you say anything in the NFC East, I'm going to ignore it.
I was actually going to say it doesn't necessarily make the least sense to go to the Eagles now that Miles Sanders.
I know, I've been hearing that one already.
That one doesn't make any sense at all. Yeah, you're probably safe from the other teams. God only knows what Washington's going to do, but obviously the Giants have Saquon, so they, you know, tagged him. So, to be a running back one, it's like you've got limited options, although I don't know what's going to materialize out of this Austin Ekeler Chargers situation. That's an interesting one.
Kellen Moore is there now.
Intriguing. Stroking with the imaginary beard. Intriguing.
Yes. We all thought that the Rush would end up there with Kellen going there, but
the running back market is just really interesting and just varies. It's very unpredictable. So, I mean, I think, you know, a couple of those teams would be something that you would look into, but a lot of these teams, again, are just, if you want to be a true RB1, there's not a lot of teams that need that. B, there's not a lot of teams that deploy that anymore. And yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see
how long he sits. Yeah. I would bet that he sits for a little while, though.
Yeah. Sad. I'm sad. It's fine.
If it was a DeMarco Murray situation, that would be so weird. Like, that would be so weird.
It's funny to see, like, of course, like, I'm friends with a lot of Eagles fans, somehow. And they, you know, they've been talking crap on Ezekiel Elliott's name since the day he put on a Cowboys jersey. And then the second we talk about releasing him, they're like, he should come to the Eagles. I'm like, how dare you?
Literally that. You're like, cool.
I mean, talk about being petty. Eagles fans are very petty, and they would, I mean, well, this just happened with the Bears too. The Bears just got Robert Tonyan, who was one of Rodgers' favorite. He's a tight end for the Packers. Came back after an ACL injury this past year, and I mean, that's Bobby T. He was, you know, very notorious for being one of Aaron Rodgers' guys, and now he's a Bear. And I just think I think the entire city was like really excited about it. Not even because he's a good tight end and the Bears could use a couple more of those, but because he was a Packer and now he has to be in the blue and orange.
Honestly, I always am on Team Petty, so like I get it. Mm-hmm. But I still want the Eagles to lose at all costs. So
always,
whatever it takes.
No all comment. Right. My entire family's from Philly, so.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mine too. I'm literally having.
Yeah, she's like that too.
Yeah. They're rabid, like Silver Linings Playbook type Eagles fans. So it's real fun.
I have rabid Vikings fans in my family, so not really the same.
Those are fun though. They're very nice, at least. Vikings fans are very nice.
It's weird because I'm like, I'll be like talking to my dad, and he's like, I'm like, did you talk crap to them yet? Like he's like, I can't because they don't say anything back. They just say
we're
doing so good this year.
You walk through a tailgate at US Bank Stadium, even if you're wearing opposing colors, and you will still be offered a brat or some sort of cured meat and cheese. And a beer, and the people are very nice. I even
sounds
remember
like heaven.
Packers fans are weirdly like, I think Bears fans aren't like this, but every other fan in the NFC fan base in the NFC North is extremely nice. I remember for the NFC Championship game going with the Buccaneers, and my brother and my dad were there with me. I got to take them to the game while I was working, and they were sitting in the seat. So they had head to toe Bucs gear on. They were so, you know, all in on my team because I worked for them. Didn't matter. Plus, you know, they grew up Bears fans, so they're not, you know, or my brother grew up Bears.
Yeah.
So they're walking around in like head to toe Bucs gear, and the amount of trash talk that was happening back and forth was just like, it was incredible. It was like a, hey, I hope you all have fun today, but I hope you don't win. And I'm like, what? And they were like, literally my dad and my brother got handed beers by guys in like green and gold suspenders. It was incredible. I was like, it's a game. It's fun. It's just how it should always be. It's very cute. My dad, who was the one that grew up in Philly, was like so taken aback. He was like, Eagles fans could never.
There has to be like one team in your division that has like that fan base, you know, and we have
Chicago. Chicago. Yeah. Although I will say it's really only when they're playing the Packers. Like Bears fans and Packers fans are really hostile towards each other. Like you don't want to go to Lambeau wearing a Bears jersey, and you don't want to go to Soldier Field wearing a Packers jersey because there will be beer thrown on you instead.
Well, at least there's some semblance of competitiveness left in the Midwest because I, for one, appreciate team pettiness, although I would not want to get a beer thrown on me. But it is kind of funny occasionally when you have that level of like fandom with a team.
Yeah.
Like, I'm afraid to go to Texas Tech Stadium, but I'm afraid to go to Lubbock. I still want to go once.
I mean, I've been there. They're just drunk. They're not that hard. They're not like terrible. They're drunk people with tortillas. Like it's not that intimidating, honestly.
I wouldn't go for every NFL fan base. They're just drunk.
They're just drunk. It's totally
with fun. Tortillas. That's their shtick. I'm like, what a waste of tortillas. I can think of so many.
Do they like throw tortillas at people
on the field?
Yeah, that's the thing. They're odd.
I would eat it.
And what have
I would
you?
Eat it. I would. Yeah, eat it.
I'm like, at least put like. Make it a taco and throw it to me. Yeah,
exactly that.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, this has been the most fun. And you guys didn't know it, but I let my dog out while we were doing this call, too. So you guys just got all
productive. Multitasking.
Multitasking.
Women multitasking, chef's kiss. Like,
women rule the world.
I can do it all.
In the rain, nonetheless. It's totally
with high heels.
Yeah, with high heels and makeup. All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for joining us. We do appreciate you taking the time today. And Carmen, you're the best for always coming on and giving us the best content. Let the good people know where you are at and what you are working on currently.
You can follow all of my stuff at CarmenV on Twitter, on Instagram. My articles appear on foxsports.com. This week was very, excuse me, Aaron Rodgers heavy. And I will be getting around to the rest of the division next week a little bit more. And actually, our good friend David Hellman and I just dropped a new mock draft on FoxSports.com. So go check it out. It's great.
Oh.
Don't yell at me too much, especially for my Jets pick. I got weird with it because they're probably not going to have that pick if this Rodgers thing goes through. So
it's kind of fun, though, in theory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. All right, guys. We'll make sure
look for the next MILF Hunter, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I cannot with you. Make sure you subscribe to the Blog Boys Podcast wherever you get your podcast, whether it's Spotify, Apple, iTunes, or Stitcher. Also, come hang out with Megan and I on social media too. I am at Kelsey_Charles on Twitter, and I'm at Hey Kelsey Charles on Instagram. And Megan is
at Meg Murray with 4 R's on Instagram and Twitter.
And because Carmi and I both are the suffering souls of families from Philly, that was some alliteration if you need it. There's some really important words we always like to leave you fine people with. And Megan, those are?
Dallas forever, Philly for never. Birds are not real.
Birds are not real. Bye, guys.
Support for this show comes from ServiceNow, the AI platform for business transformation. You've heard the big hype around AI. The truth is, AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. ServiceNow is the platform that puts AI to work for people across your business, removing friction and frustration for your employees, supercharging productivity for your developers, providing intelligent tools for your service agents to make customers happier. All built into a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. Visit servicenow.com/AI for people to learn more.